section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
NXT has a major announcement. TNA does not renew some contracts, and who got beat with an inch of their life? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So NXT announces another special event. So what are your thoughts on this?
Another pay-per-view.
Well, these aren't pay-per-views because they're on the network. So this is only
I'm
on
calling
the network.
It a pay-per-view. I don't care. I don't care. I'm still going to call it a pay-per-view because that's what I'm, you know, what I know it as. So, but they are doing another pay-per-view. This is not a big surprise to me. Is it a big surprise to you?
I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah, because the first one was in February. So, you know, that's a, you know, 3 month time frame. I think that they probably could have done one. Really, they should have done one in March just because there was no pay-per-view that went on during that time. And I think that this is a golden opportunity for WWE to have a pay-per-view event when there are no other pay-per-views around that time. And it's a good way to not only give back to the fans, like, you know, not monetarily, but kind of give back as saying, thank you for, you know, buying our product. We're going to give you these special events that are live and that are part of your subscription. And I think it's really great because also it's going to show off a lot of NXT talent, and it feels really good. So I hope that they do a really good job with this, and I'm looking forward to the feuds that they're going to have.
Now, it's going to be, what, May 25th?
25th, 29th, something around those. I actually already added it to my Google Calendar just so that way I can have it on there.
And I actually think it's the 22nd.
Yeah, that shows how good. 29th.
Okay, which is interesting because Payback is on June 1st. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that they're leading up to can the network handle it, because we already saw WrestleMania could, which I'm still in shock about.
That is still, I mean, biggest surprise next to Undertaker losing. I actually think that they should have this the week before. I would do it on the 22nd because if anything else, it spaces out those special events that they have. And I think that'd be a really good thing to do because, you know, let's face it, you know, as wrestling fans, every Monday night we're going to watch Raw, right? And then, you know, the fourth Sunday of the month, basically, we're going to be watching a new pay-per-view. I think this would be a good opportunity to kind of give you an extra taste, be like, oh, hey, we're having an NXT pay-per-view 2 weeks before the normal pay-per-view. So, but that's nitpicking. Andy, I do want to ask you, though. So we had talked about it last week, but, you know, it has been confirmed. Chris Sabin's contract is not being renewed and it expires here in a couple of weeks. And Christopher Daniels is gone. And I believe that Kaz, I don't know, is there confirmation on him too?
Kaz is also gone too. If I'm correct, Kaz and Daniels' contract were done about the same time, within just days of each other, if not on the same day. And yeah, they're officially gone from TNA. So Christopher Daniels the other day put out a tweet saying that he's taking independent bookings. And mm-hmm. I believe that Kaz will do the same thing here shortly, which I guess now when they do like the PWS shows and the PWG shows, they can be shown on the iPay-per-views, which they couldn't be before due to their TNA contract. But I find this interesting that they signed Rockstar Spud to a multi-year deal, but then they don't sign three guys that mm-hmm. could be that are draws. Bad Influence as a draw and Sabin to a certain extent as a draw.
Well, you said last week that Sabin was not a draw.
To a certain extent, he is. If I had to pick Rockstar Spud or Chris Sabin, I already know I'm picking Chris Sabin at that time. Because Spud, yes, he's a good wrestler to a certain extent, but he's the guy.
He's funny.
I want to see him get the crap kicked out of him. That's all I want to see him.
Yeah,
I want to see a good match, he's not going to be able to put it on. He's just there to get the crap kicked out of him.
Here, I'm gonna say something that's probably controversial here. I like Chris Sabin. I think he's a very talented wrestler. But right now for TNA, I bet you anything that Rockstar Spud's contract is insanely cheap versus Sabin. And on top of it too, people are probably paying. Like I'm gonna say something else that's kind of weird. I bet you anything that Rockstar Spud draws more money than Chris Sabin.
You're crazy.
I know.
You're
know.
Completely crazy, dude.
Here's the thing. Rockstar Spud is hilarious. They give him the mic. They give him time to actually cut promos, and they give him time to get the crap kicked out of him. I mean, this week alone, he got the crap kicked out of him by Kurt Angle. And people were cheering that. They love to see him get beat. And that's the thing about Saban, is that while he's a very talented wrestler, and I love him in Motor City Machine Guns as an X Division wrestler, he's not as big of a draw, I don't think. So I think that that's why they kept him over Saban, let's say. But Kaz and Daniels, I bet anything else that they were just kind of, hey, you guys aren't doing anything with us, let us go. You know, they were probably ready to get out of there.
No, I don't believe that. I actually believe that they just were like, you know what? We don't need you. And that's what they're going to, that's how they're going to be. And it's kind of sad because, you know, indie wrestling is where it all started, and that's where they're going to end up going. So they start at the top, or they started where they started is where they're going to end, which is kind of interesting.
I don't think that they'll end there. I think that someone like Daniels, he could probably work with WWE, not as a performer, but as a trainer. I could see him doing something like that. Kazarian, I don't know what he could do, but
he left on bad terms too.
Well, if anything else, honestly, I bet you would see those two reunite with AJ Styles and Ring of Honor, doing some sort of gimmick there. I think that'd be the best thing to do, to be honest. If anything else, you could run kind of an NWO type storyline with those two. And say, you know what? We left from this big company to come take yours over. You know, take over this indie promotion. They could do something like that, maybe.
That's true. Hey, also, I wanted to bring up something I just was thinking about. Does anyone care about CM Punk at this point?
I still do.
I've got to the point now where, okay, it's CM Punk. I don't care. AJ Lee's gone. I don't care either. If those two never showed up in wrestling again, I mean, what then? You know, because I look at this at this standpoint. Let's say CM Punk comes back, and let's say he shows up in TNA. How much of
Brother his, Punk is what you're saying?
Brother Punk.
Yeah.
We'll just say that. How much of his merchandise at WWE.com or WWEShop.com is going to get cut like to next to nothing like they did with Eric Bischoff?
Well, I mean, of course it will, but I think that Punk will never go to TNA. And even if he did, he's not the type of person that would increase ratings to be this insurmountable amount. You know, like he would not move it that much. Hogan didn't move it that much. Hogan is arguably the biggest wrestling name of all time. Hulk Hogan. And when he showed up at TNA, he moved it a little bit, but he had full creative control. And so he's able to do a lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't have been able to do. And they had dumb storylines. They really did.
Okay, but hypothetically, so let's say that he does go to TNA, okay, and it doesn't change the ratings. And let's say they invested, like, we'll say $800,000 into him, guaranteed for one full year. Who wins? CM Punk? So CM Punk wins. Let's say the ratings only go up, 0.1. Is that a win for TNA then?
A little bit, probably.
But their contract ends in October, and they signed him, best case scenario, at the end of the beginning of September.
In my opinion, I don't think that anybody short of John Cena coming to TNA would increase their ratings that much. Now, I really don't think that anybody short of John Cena would. I think that CM Punk, you know, when he cut his promo on Raw, that is when he made his mark in WWE. You know, in the same way, you know, talking about Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania 6, that's when he made his biggest mark in the WWE. And that's what he'll probably be remembered for the most, is that. And same thing with CM Punk, you know. And then he had a really great 434-day reign. He did some really great stuff with WWE. But at the end of the day, the way that he left was one of the dumbest ways you could have left a company. And secondly, he hasn't said anything about it. He's just like, no, I left. And it's like, you know what? I would love to see you back, but as it is right now, you're kind of becoming a little bit of a whiny, you know, jerk.
Right. And just to let you know, he did favorite a tweet the other day. Just wanted to point that out.
Oh, my God. Really? We're on Twitter patrol with him now?
No, I just saw someone posted that. And I was like, seriously? Because it was a picture of Punk and I think the other was Warrior or something like that. Anyways, I just thought that was interesting and it just came to mind. So the saddest news recently, Daniel Bryan just had the best 2 weeks of his life. And then he comes back from his honeymoon to find out that his father at the age of 57 passes away. Completely unexpected. Daniel Bryan insisted that he still did Raw, which I thought that was interesting how they booked this segment. Because this looked like it was not planned, that it was Let's get him out here. If we have him do the opening segment, do his yes thing with his wife, and then have him get the crap kicked out of him by Kane, which is what, you know, which we'll get into later. But that happens, and then get him on a plane, get him out of here right away. I thought the WWE handled this perfectly. I'm surprised Daniel Bryan said, let me show the fans came for this. Let's do this real fast. Do the angle. He's gone. Maybe he shows up next week at Raw. We don't know yet, but.
Yeah, he probably will show up next week. You know, they give him the week off and, you know, give him time to, you know, deal with what he has to deal with. And of course, the segment that they had, it was, you know, I watched it and, you know, he looks up in the air and you could tell like his eyes were red. I mean, he didn't even say anything during the whole segment, too. That was the other thing. He didn't say anything. He comes out, he looks up, you know, he points to the sky and he looked up when he was pointing, you know, so it was kind of like a, you know, tribute to his dad. And, you know, he does his yes thing. And then, you know, Stephanie comes out. Kane comes out, beats the crap out of him, of course, kayfabe. And, you know, it was something that was very easy for him to do. And then they were able to, you know, say, look, you know, go do your thing. You know, you got to deal with your family and you know, take care of all that. And so I'm sure that's what happened. It really sucks because having two of the best weeks of your life, you win the World Heavyweight and WWE title. You get married to your wife. You close on a house. You know,
get
like
a honeymoon.
Yeah, you go on your honeymoon, a really long honeymoon. I mean, it was like one of the best. Like you hear that, you're like, oh man, I would absolutely love that. And then your dad passes away, and it's like I would give all that up just so you know he would still be alive. You know, some people would. And I'm sure that Brian's kind of thinking the same thing. So it's really sad. But you know, as we had talked about with Kane beating Brian. The segment itself, I got to ask you, do you think that this was smart booking in terms of storyline, making Kane look like he was an unstoppable monster?
I believe that something like this was going to happen. The tombstone thing off of, you know, of course, in the ring, off the steps, off the announcer table, if I'm correct, mm-hmm. Was it three? That doing it and, you know, was fine. I thought it made Kane come over huge because, of course, they called it a pile driver, by the way. I never heard him call it a tombstone pile driver, but they called it a pile driver.
They always call it that.
A tombstone pile driver.
Yeah. You but never hear him call it that?
No, but they called it a pile driver. I never
Just a pile
driver. I never heard him say tombstone in front of it. That's what I thought was
You've
weird.
Never heard him call it a tombstone pile driver?
No, I have. I don't remember them saying tombstone pile driver. I heard him refer to it as a pile driver.
Okay.
There's a difference. Anyways, but yeah, I thought it was interesting that they had Kane do this. Kane looked a little off when he was doing it too, but I think this had something to do with Daniel Bryan when he was doing it, but it was kind of neat seeing him back as the big red machine. I don't know why they kept him with the long hair. Everyone knows he's bald.
Yeah, that's one of those things where when he took off his mask, you found out that he had a wig on underneath. And, I guess I always thought that it was, you know, real hair and everything. And I thought, oh, that's weird. And then when he came back as Kane the second time, you know, with the mask and everything, they had the wig on him. But you could say, oh, well, you know, he's been gone for so long. Maybe it is his hair. But we just saw him last week bald, you know, with a buzz cut. I mean, no, you know, like really, like people aren't that stupid. I mean, does the hair give him power? Does it make him more than a man? Why can he not just have the mask? Like these are questions that I have for WWE that they would not answer. Because I call their corporate line for financial, you know, investing. And, you know, I asked him, I was like, why does Kane have hair now? Is it give him power or something? They're like, yeah, did you want to place an order for some stock? And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I wanted to know this first, you know.
Before. You're like, well, my father owned 3.7% of your company before he dumped it. So I just wanted to make sure that if I'm going to invest 0.00001% of my money into your company.
Exactly. I just want to know these. Andy, let's talk about the IC tournament. Wade Barrett and RVD won their respective matches and they're going to face off next week. What did you think of their matches?
Well, we were off.
Both of us. Yes.
Matches itself were pretty good. I have a question about Wade Barrett's the bull hammer now. Mm-hmm. What does turning the elbow pad inside out do to make it more effective?
Oh, you didn't know?
No.
Oh, Andy.
Chris Hero has a reason, but this makes no sense.
Well, you see, he obviously takes inspiration from Chris Hero, and he wanted to, you know, make something special, you know, with the theatrics and being like, oh, now that it's red, it's going to do more damage.
Right. But anyway, so the match between him and Sheamus was awesome. Sheamus, you know, I think the guy cannot put on, he hasn't put on a bad match in a long time. Yeah, at least to recent memory. He goes out there, he's one of the best, and it's unreal that he's turned into that person.
I'm a little surprised too. I still think that having Wade Barrett win probably wasn't the best decision booking wise. I think that Sheamus should have won this. Sheamus has taken quite a few losses recently, and I'm a little surprised by it because he's kind of Triple H's boy, and you know, losing to Batista, that's one thing. But losing to Wade Barrett, that was like, wow, really? Like, this is a guy who's former WWE, former World Heavyweight Champion. Are you saying that Wade Barrett is kind of going to be the next guy? Is that what you're trying to
do? I don't know about that. I guess the way I'm – okay. Would Chris – this is going to be bad. Okay, let's bring up Chris Benoit, right? No matter the match, he got done, and even if he lost, he was just like, whatever. Fans still cheered for him afterwards and everything. They're like, wow, we really dig you. Even when he was trying to be a heel – and even when he was, I guess, a tweener at one point, of course, when he was a face. But I think that some of the fans just don't like Sheamus because he is Triple H's basically like really good friend or workout partner, you know, whatever you want to call it. So I think that because some of the fans now in the know will chant stuff during his match. I don't think they really chanted much during this match, which I thought, but I think it was because of Wade Barrett. But I guess. At some point, people are going to respect Sheamus more when they actually, because they're respecting the matches more opposed to the storylines. I think a lot of people are. But of course, John Cena, you know, we boo him. Everyone else cheers for him. But I think it's unfair that when people boo Sheamus because he's a great performer and his matches are still getting good, especially when the finishes are coming out there. It's not like it's like 15 false finishes to, you know, end up being a, you know, a schoolboy that wins the match. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like he'll duck the bullhammer, which he did, and then Barrett got him, I thought, in a creative way.
I agree. I do want to say this about Sheamus. I really did not like him, and I hated how they booked him when he first came into WWE. He wins the WWE title by pushing John Cena through a table, barely. Mm-hmm. Like, really? Like, why? Like that's just so dumb, and you gave this guy who had no real good experience over a lot of other people who are much more talented. I thought it was really dumb booking personally. However, fast forward to now, I actually like him because he has an opportunity here to put over people who, I don't want to say are younger because him and Wade Barrett are probably around the same age, but he has an opportunity here where when he loses a match, it's actually a surprise. The fact that Wade Barrett beat Sheamus is a big deal. Just like when Cesaro beat Randy Orton, that was like, whoa, really? Like that surprised a lot of people. The fact that he pinned him cleanly in the same way that it did here. And it does make for a more interesting landscape. I just hope that they put Sheamus in a really good program, either for the IC title or get somebody to make it a really compelling storyline. And they have a lot of really big talents right now that they can do that. And actually, if the writing staff does it, they can make Sheamus into a really great character, more well-rounded, and make it somebody that even if he's a face or a heel, that you want to see.
You know, since we talked mostly about that match, let's talk about RVD's match versus Cesaro, which Swagger came out, interfered, causing Cesaro to lose the match. RVD gets the win. Here's my thought on this whole process. What if Cesaro comes in and RVD takes on Wade Barrett, right, next week? So Let's just say Cesaro comes in and beats them both up. And then they say, like, we're going to make this a four-way dance. Do you think that would be more interesting than just saying that? Or even if Cesaro beats him up, then turn into a three-way match, one of those things? Because...
A three-way number one contender match?
No, they don't make it a three... I'm sorry. If during that match, Cesaro comes out, beats both guys up, and then it's over with. And then because of that, they force it into a three-way, and Cesaro can't be anywhere around. And then Cesaro can still do his feud with Swagger at the pay-per-view special event.
Here's the thing, though. You do that, and then Cesaro looks like a really massive heel, whereas right now he looks like a tweener. Because people will cheer for him in a face-type way, but he's with Paul Heyman, who says very heelish things. So right now Cesaro is very, very, very well sandwiched into that tweener category. So I don't think that that's a good idea necessarily, because that's going to make him an over heel, you know, I think.
All right. Okay.
But I do understand, though, you know, kind of come up with that creative idea. I can see Cesaro maybe costing RVD the match and then having a little feud with them. And I think that might not be a bad idea, because then you have Paul Heyman, who's also in the middle, who knows a lot about RVD. You know,
oh,
they ran really great programs in the past.
You could do. I got an idea. OK, so you do that. You basically make it so it's Wade Barrett versus Big E. But you have make it so RVD loses, and then you could have Cesaro Swagger at the pay-per-view, and you could have it so somehow RVD makes it so Swagger gets the win. Swagger looks good because he beats, you know, Cesaro. Yeah. And then that way he saves face. They go into the program RVD versus Cesaro, and no one, and everyone forgets about Jack Swagger. There we go.
Yeah.
There's the segment to book WWE. I would like credit on that.
So, Andy, do you want to talk about the Shield and Evolution, kind of everything that's been going on with them?
You know, we're going to get one star out of this, unfortunately, which is the sad part.
Really? But you don't think that's going to be a bigger match than that?
No. I think Batista is going to be somehow he's going to have an injury, or he's going to come out on Raw and cry, which he did last time. And then he's going to be gone. But
oh, no, no. I think that this is actually going to be pretty entertaining. I want to see Evolution get the crap kicked out of him. And that's the big thing. You know, when you have a really great antagonist and a really great protagonist, then it makes the story really interesting. And, you know, Evolution, they had that, what was it, 11-on-3 match last week. This week, Shield comes out there going up the ramp, and then, you know, those 11 guys or whatever come out, and Shield can't do anything about it. And so then on SmackDown this week, Shield takes out those heel guys. You know, they take out a bunch of them. And so they have, I think it was like a 5-on-3 match then. It was actually, I think it's really good storytelling. I like what they've been doing with the Shield. And I think that when Shield finally takes on Evolution at the pay-per-view, then it's going to be a really big deal. It, like this, and you know, not to diminish the title, but this is the type of match that is a main event caliber match. Main event.
Well, then what's the main event? Shouldn't it be Daniel Bryan versus Kane for the main event?
It should be, but I'm saying
so they're CM Punking this then.
I think that they might. I think that this might be the main event.
This should be the main of the second main event, and then the real main event should be Daniel Bryan versus Kane. Well, oh, but that's probably going to be on the pre-show though, knowing them.
That's not going to be on the pre-show, but it'll be the match
with the 30-minute time limit. You know, but yeah, so I believe that I like the way that they're going with this storyline. So there's nothing more to say here, but yeah. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space and unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs their free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 OffTheMark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. And, of course, look for that CM Punk clearance coming up here shortly. That's speculation, of course. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling. Kenny King, who's he going to be feuding with now?
Well, you know, he was, you know, kind of messing around with MVP. We thought that's where it was going to go. But no, they're taking us a different direction, Andy. They're going to have him feud with Bobby Lashley.
So Lashley is going to have to get over, I'm assuming, or is it he's just getting paid per appearance, you know, $500?
I don't know what they're doing. Kenny King is an X Division talent. You know, he went over RVD to win the X Division title. And they've had a decent program with him and some of the other X Division stars. Why are they putting him with Bobby Lashley?
I have no idea. You know, Bobby Lashley was there, and it's kind of like, yeah. Like, seriously, I was never the biggest Bobby Lashley fan. When he was in the WWE and he basically did a knockoff from Brock Lesnar, I realize it now that it was because it was a knockoff Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's all it was, because he had similar moves. He came
in. Well, if I'm correct, the internet wrestling community referred to him as Black Lesnar.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I mean, that's what they referred to him as, you know, and I mean, it was kind of true. I mean, he's a big guy and you can put him in a good program. You could have him, you know, as a heel against like Kurt Angle, for example. You could have him against Abyss. There are people within TNA that you could have him in a program against. The problem is that Kenny King, and I like him, I just don't think that they're very believable together in a wrestling match. In the same way that, you know, and I hate to use this as an example, but Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, or better yet, Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio. No one in their right mind is going to say even if Rey Mysterio won the match, no one's going to say that that's believable. It is very believable that a guy who is 5'4" can beat a guy who is 6'2" and weighs 300 pounds of pure muscle. No one's going to say that. And with Kenny King, while it's not that big of a discrepancy, it kind of feels the same way to me. And I think that Kenny King is being wasted in a feud like this.
Well, unless he beats him. And if he beats him in a way where we're like, okay, I could see that. I mean, that's the only way I think that can happen.
You know, I'll say this.
Oh,
I will recant. I'll recant my statements if it's something that is good for the payoff.
I just realized that on Sunday they had their pay-per-view.
Oh, you didn't know?
I just realized that. I was like, hey, wait a minute, when is their pay-per-view? Oh, geez, it's this week. Are you kidding me? But yeah, so yeah, the other pay-per-view is this weekend on Sunday. Yeah. So I guess I'm debating on getting it because with the WWE Network, I prefer paying $10 opposed to, I think their events are $55 for HD events, $45 for standard F.
Well, and you know, it is obviously a little more expensive. Actually, let me ask you. So, we'll get back onto some of the topics here in a second, but a lot of these are matches we've already seen before. You know, so we have Eric Young versus Magnus. We have Bully Ray versus Bobby Roode, James Storm versus Gunner. We have Sonata versus Tigre Uno, and Mr. Anderson versus Samuel Shaw. So that's six of the matches there, or five of the matches, I mean. And we've seen these already. Some of them on free TV. In fact, all these we've seen on free TV. I mean, is that going to make you pay money?
No, I have no desire to buy it. And I think that one thing that as a wrestling fan, if you're sick and tired of seeing the same stuff over and over again, just do what most people do. Just don't show up. I mean, I saw that their attendance last weekend for pay-per-views for house shows was actually, I think they had 1,000 at one and 900 at another. Big places, though. But to me, it's like, well, if they're going to put on crap, you know, on TV or stuff that you've already seen, just don't show. Don't watch the show. Maybe DVR it because they're not taking that into consideration. DVR it and then just don't watch it live. I mean, that's what you have to do if you don't like the product. I mean, that's what with Raw. I can't remember. I mean, I've watched Raw live recently more because I was more entertained. Whether or not that helped the ratings, it didn't, but I still watched it live. But as a wrestling fan, you need to let people know if it stinks. I mean, indie wrestling, they have to put on good matches and they have to have names there so people will come back.
Yeah, and you know, to talk about TNA's pay-per-view real quick, it's $40. I just saw. I don't know if that's okay. That's probably just for standard def. You know, in WWE pay-per-views are $45. You know, I'm taking a look right here. And so you see that and it's like, okay, for $5 more, I get something that's a global promotion. You know, you're going to get a better product out of it. And I like TNA. I do think, though, that they have made some bad decisions recently. But you got something that's only $5 more. Yeah, you know, you're going to have to do something. You're going to do something to compete because you're competing in the same space. So you're going to have to do something different or something similar that they're doing like $10 a month for that. So anyway, Andy, let's talk, though, get back into Impact and talk about Beer Money reunited to take on Gunner and Bully Ray. So we had James Storm, Robert Roode. Obviously, they've been at odds for the past 3 years now. What did you think? I mean, to see them back together, is this something that you'd like to see to keep going?
Well, I think this was foreshadowed with last week's episode with Bully Ray coming out to help Gunner after, you know, basically Beer Money was beating the crap out of him. Nice to see him back. Gonna be interesting to see what's up happening with this. I know it's my famous catchphrase, but it's one of those things. They unite. Where are they gonna take it from here? What is gonna be the point? Because was there gonna be a tag match, if I'm correct on this? Mm-hmm. What's the point? It's just like, I'm not happy with you, you're not happy with me. Let's have a match.
So I have an idea. and I think I said this 2-3 weeks ago, and it's very simple. They're probably going to do it. You have the American Wolves win the tag titles, and then you have them in Beer Money feud.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what other tag teams are there, honestly? And I think that'd be the smartest.
Who are the tag champs? Bet.
Of course, it's the Bromans, dude.
Oh, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, Andy, MVP defeats A-Double. I was a little surprised. I thought that A-Double was going to get the win here. I would have probably put money on it because I think that, you know, if you come back and you're going to, you know, have an interruption like that, you're going to do something big. What are they doing with A-Double? Is he in?
He's there. Maybe he's going to do something where he is that MVP's not wrestling at the pay-per-view. That we know him, right?
So
okay, no. So he may be there. Maybe Austin Aries causes something to happen where maybe a match doesn't happen, or you know, he could interfere into the Eric Young's match and mm-hmm. cost him Eric Young the title and say, listen, you should have put the strap on me. You beat me. I made sure that your guy just, and then Eric Young loses the title, but it makes Eric Young look horrible, I think. But you know, whatever.
You know, I think that you could interject him into something like that. If you had him cost Eric Young the title, it would put him super over as a heel. I would almost maybe even have him come out there and try to distract Eric Young, but like unsuccessfully do it. And then that way you could potentially have an Eric Young versus A-Double feud for the TNA championship. I mean, that could be an option.
That is true. You could do that as well.
So I don't know. I think that they really need to do something with him because like I said last week, I think that he's a draw. I think he's a talent and he's somebody that I'm not saying I build the company around, but he's kind of like that second or third guy, you know, kind of like that macho man to the Ultimate Warrior to Hulk Hogan, you know, like, so like, he's like a couple steps down, you know, like you remember him and he's a good talent, but he's not like the main guy. And so I think that they need to give him an opportunity.
Yes, I do agree with that. Do you think will this actually be Eric Young's first main event?
Yeah, a first pay per view main event, I believe.
That's I'm sorry, that's what I meant. His first pay per view main event, because that's pretty big. That is big, I think, at least. So, yep. Anyways, we don't have a weekly topic, but I want to talk about a couple things real quick that we forgot to bring up. Ring of Honor is going to now have pay per views.
Did we talk about that last week?
I don't think so, dude. I could be wrong, but I was looking at the show notes from last week, but I didn't see anything on there unless on the fly we talked about it.
Yeah, maybe.
But if we didn't, they are having it. Excited for them. But the other thing I want to talk about that I just got some interesting stuff about this. Remember we talked last week for the weekly topic. I talked about how I went to go see Dreamwave Wrestling in LaSalle, Illinois, or Peru, Illinois, depending on who you talk to. And I remember I said something about this, and I wish I queued this up because this will make you laugh. But remember how like it was Jim Cornette and then it was Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett at the promotion. And I remember I said something that I saw that Karen looked like she ran to the merch stand, did something, and then went to the back again. You remember I said something along those lines?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the incident that supposedly happened, they actually talked about it, how he talked about how she had a long dress and high heels. And it was when Cornette was making fun of her, basically, because he was the commissioner for that night. That happened at Dreamwave. So this incident that supposedly they're referring to as being drunk. I believe that Ian Rotten, is it Ian or Axel Rotten?
I think it's Axel.
Okay, so Axel Rotten. Yeah, so basically that's all BS, basically, and I'm sorry that we talked about that because we said some negative things, but it's still our feelings towards that situation still, if he was drunk. But it turns out he couldn't have been, and the incident they're referring to is the one that I saw, and I find that hilarious. But oh well. So no weekly topic this week, but we'll have one for you next week. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthemarK86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.